welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. He is the Lord and He changeth not. And just as Jesus, when He walked the shores of Galilee, when He walked the face of the earth, He was a man of God, the Son of God, who was moved by the sickness, by the oppression, by the bondages of the people that surrounded Him. And He reached out His heart and His hand of compassion and healed all those who came to Him. And He taught the Word of God. And those words that He taught have been preserved for us in the Word of God. So we also, even though centuries separate us from that time when our Master walked the face of the earth, yet His words have been preserved through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those that wrote down the New Testament, those who understood the principles of what He was teaching, they've been recorded so that we can be comforted. And the lessons that the disciples learned, we're also able to learn. We understand the circumstances and the feelings and the things they went through that in our own lives, you know, it says in the scriptures, Elijah was a man of great, of like passions as we are. And so human nature is the same. And I fully believe our walk with the Lord, because we live in a fallen world and there's so much evil and peril and danger that surrounds us, because death is a real enemy, sickness and death and all the things that came with the advent of sin in the world through our original parents, Adam and Eve, that the sorrows and the grief and the untold heartache that has plagued mankind, the wars that have torn apart societies and nations. Beloved, time is coming when that is all going to cease, when the government will be upon His shoulders, when Jesus returns. But for now, we as the people of God can take comfort in the trials that we go through, the tribulation that we experience. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so I've been ministering just a simple message, which I've entitled, With Jesus in a Storm. And there are accounts in three of the Gospels of an experience in the life of Jesus and His disciples. And let me read a shortened version found in Matthew, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to start reading again at verse 23, in case some of you are just joining me for the first time this week. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. Mark says the ship was full, the water had come in so much. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? In Mark, it's the longest or the fullest description of what happened that evening. They awake Him, and in verse 38, it says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And you know, so often that is our response, that we think when we're going through difficult times and trials in our life that the Lord does not care. And that's not true. Jesus is with us in our boat. We're all on a journey, beloved, and we're headed to the other side. We're headed to the shores of that great wonderful place if Jesus tarries, we're headed to heaven. And if not, if he comes in our lifetimes, we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. Nonetheless, we don't have to be afraid because we're his. And the experience of fear that the disciples were going through was basically, if it would, it's a cowardly fear. That Greek word, that's what that meaning. They had fear in the crisis they were going through because they were responding to what their senses were telling them, because they were seasoned fishermen and they had good reason to be afraid. It was beyond their ability to manage the craft, to manage and use the skills they had as experienced fishermen. They realized that they were going to go down, and they waited as long as they could, and they finally woke up Jesus, and they said, "Lord, we're perishing, but don't you care about that?" Well, they were accusing him that he was, you know, insensitive to their need. Can you imagine the sound, the waves, the tossing of the waves, how that little boat was being tossed to and fro, and Jesus didn't wake with all that commotion, but he heard their cry. Beloved, he's heard your cry. And as I am speaking to you today, I feel there are those who are really battling fear. And fear is a terrible thing. It has torment, the scriptures tell us. And we have to understand that God understands our fear. Jesus was tested in all points as we. In fact, if that's true, and we know it is, then he was tested with fear, but he overcame. He did not sin because he committed himself to the care of his heavenly Father. And let's read what it says in 1 John, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Do you, beloved? Do you really, really believe that? John goes on to say, "God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." He says, "Because as he is, so are we in this world." He says in verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And I'll have to read verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." So, beloved, if we're ever fearful, and this is a process of learning to grow in Jesus, to trust him, to have the faith of a little child. Fear is unpleasant. It's a very strong emotion. It's caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It's anxious concern, solicitude. And of course, also fear, it's a profound reverence or awe toward God. But let's read now what 1 John, the second chapter, verses 28 and 29 says, "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Beloved, the storm you may be going through right now is revealing two things. It's a revelation of yourself, and it's a revelation of God. When we are in a crisis, when we are going through terrible situations where the wind just seems to be ready to knock us down, or the waves seem to be overflowing our vessel, we have to understand that in that situation, if it's not for the Lord, we will perish, just like the disciples. But it helps us to see. Remember, Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said, "Where is your faith? Why are you afraid?" That's what he said. He said, "Peace be still." He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And he's saying to us today, why are we afraid? Why are we so fearful? Why is it that we are so fearful? Why do not we have faith? Don't we know that what he's been with us in our past difficulties? He's with us to calm our fears, to rebuke those storms. And you know, in that 8th chapter of Luke, they waited until the storm was really bad. The disciples did. They didn't just, you know, when the winds started getting a little rough, they didn't waken them then, but they waited. It was a catastrophe. It was crisis time. And you may be facing that in your life, but Jesus is there. They were afraid, but Jesus calmed their fears. And then they had fear at the miracle. They were terrified. They were literally feared, a great fear, when they saw that even the forces of nature obeyed Jesus. This verb that is used there, phobiomea, it means to have awe. And this refers to a reverence that overtakes people in the presence of supernatural power. Their question, "Who is this?" indicates that they did not fully comprehend the significance of it all. You know, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus asked them, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And it was Peter in that 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 8. He says, "Thou art the Christ." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," in verse 17, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And that's when, in verse 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so it takes sometimes the storms and the battles. You see, that was in the 8th chapter of Matthew, they didn't understand who Jesus was, but by the time they had seen the miracles of the Lord in Matthew 16, he was then able to say, "Thou art the Christ." And beloved, can you say, "Thou art the Christ" in your life? Whatever's going on, let's pray briefly before I must bring this broadcast to a close. Father, we say, "You are the Christ. You are the God who's able to calm the storms of life, to speak peace to the waves and to the wind." And so, Father, I ask you to do that right now in behalf of your beloved. Father, give them a peace that passes all understanding. Let a faith arise in their heart, no matter what their circumstances, that bad report from the doctor, that concern of what you're hearing at work. Lord, there's just going to be a peace that their life, their welfare is in your hands. And yes, you do care. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you have a prayer need, I invite you to write, share those needs. There's power in agreeing prayer. I pray for you every day, UCM partners, as well as my radio family. Thank you for listening, and let's continue tomorrow. I love you, and until then, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,